Didn't know where or why or how, but the Lord brought it to my attention anyway. 2 Corinthians, last two verses of the 5th chapter and the first few verses of the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to read along. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is a representative of someone or something, some nation. Our ambassadors speak in the country where they are for the president of the United States. They are appointed by the president to represent him in the various countries where they have their administration. They're supposed to speak his sentiments in every way. Amen. Ambassadors for Christ do. Amen. If I represent somebody, in order to represent them well, I need to know their nature, their makeup. I need to know their convictions, beliefs, where they stand on the issues. And thus knowing, I can represent them. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. The preacher here represents Christ. God uses him to admonish and to plead with people in God's stead. I pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 6th chapter. We then, as workers together with him. Notice Paul uses the plural, and he beseeches the church, I beseech you, God does beseech you by us, amen. And he uses the word us several times. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Amen. He, as a preacher, is trying to hold on to the ground that they have gained. Not lose any, if at all possible. Why? Lest I run in vain, preached in vain. He said in other places, and lest you receive the grace of God in vain. What a tragedy to receive all the blessings of God in vain. Did you know that all of the men of God that ever marched out, like Paul, who gave himself to such torturous afflictions to preach the gospel, such persecutions and such ridicule, such mockery and such sufferings to preach the gospel, at such a tremendous price, he brings the gospel to those people. He brings the gospel in the power of God, that their faith might not rest in the wisdom of men. He doesn't bank on enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I preached with the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, that your faith might stand on the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. Praise God. At such a tremendous price, at such a tremendous manifestation of God, he said, it was God admonishing you, beseeching you, begging you, pleading with you through me. God did that. Amen. But right in the Corinthian church, there was that possibility, and I don't want to be too negative this morning, there was that possibility of people receiving the grace of God in vain. Amen. Well, there is also that possibility of preaching in vain. Amen. I've gone to milk the cow, and that old cow stick her foot in that bucket and send it a sailing across the barn, it about half full. That was milking in vain. Amen. I felt like the Quaker that had a cow, and she rammed her foot in a bucket and slapped him with her tail around the head and the face several times, and stuck her foot in that bucket and slammed it against the side of the barn. And he walked around to the front of that cow and he said, thou knowest I am a Quaker. Thou knowest I shan't beat thee. But what thou knowest not, this week I shall sell thee to a Baptist and he shall beat thee to death. Amen. And I felt like selling her to somebody else. Amen. Well, we know what it means to labor in vain. Amen. Those hailstorms down in Texas, that just about beat anything I ever saw. It beat the roofs in on people's houses. It beat the windshield out on people's cars. It tore up, it knocked the windows out on her house and came through the windows. In some places, they had hail as big as volleyballs. I mean, I can't even imagine softballs. I heard the first newscast said softball size hail. I couldn't believe it. I heard somebody else say baseball size hail. And when they come along with this volleyball size hail, I was like Queen of Sheba. There's no breath left in me. They've had trouble down around Dallas, folks. Amen. Yeah, that kind of hailstorm. I mean, they've had several of them. Amen. Well, when that happens, you've planted your garden in vain. You have sowed your fields in vain. You planted your trees in vain. I came through Southern Illinois a few years ago after I had a big hailstorm. Hail was 6 inches thick in the grass alongside the road. And as I came through, springtime just like this, but there was an eerie smoke. The ice was smoking. A vapor was coming off of it. It was drifting out across the highway. And I thought, what in the world has happened here? I didn't know that a storm had blown through Brown County and they had had a hailstorm, and that's what was smoking. The vapor was coming off of the ice, and I got to looking, and it had literally beat all the leaves off the trees. Trees didn't have any leaves left on them. Not even the evergreen trees had any green left on them. It had beat the leaves off of them too. Amen. And you planted your trees in vain. You sowed your fields in vain. Amen. That fescue grass that grows beside the road, like that out yonder in the median of Route 4, it stands up good and tall. It was beat down just as flat almost as a carpet by that hailstorm. Amen. Well, he said, you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation. When God's moving, that's the time to get in. When God comes by and His servants speak as oracles of God, and God sets them on fire, praise God, that's the time to get in. I want to tell you, that train don't stop every month or so. Amen. When God's moving and it's like holy fire in your bones, it's no time to sit around and bat your eyes like a frog in a hailstorm. It's time to get up and go forward for God and get in for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, if this is not it, if what we have had is not it, pray tell me what is it? If we have not had it in the last little while, if we have not had a visitation from God, pray tell me who has. Amen. You're going to be hard put to find one any greater than the one we've had. Amen. God's move is fresh all the time. God's outpourings are fresh all the time. But we need to be on guard. I mean, guard our hearts lest we take the touch of God and the move of God for granted. This is our day. This is our hour. Amen. And we'll never have another one. You've not got two lives to live, just one. And it'll soon be past. This is our day. Amen. Hey, the sun's going down for some of you. Amen. Ah, yes. And it's lower in the west for me than it was when I started preaching 45 years ago. Huh? Praise God. We've not got much longer to dilly-dally around. We better be up and about our Father's business. Praise God. Amen. All right. Paul said, giving no offense, amen, in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I'm going to go back, remind you that now we are ambassadors for Christ. God beseeches you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, for he hath made him to be sin for us. We then as workers together with him. Amen. I'm going to, if you'll allow me, to include all of us in this. We are workers together with Christ. Aren't we? Well, aren't we? If we're not workers together with Christ, who are you working for? What are you working for? Huh? Amen. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you. Well, we know Paul is. But what about the church? Is not the church also workers together with Christ? Amen. Okay. Giving no offense. Praise God. Here's some things we need to watch as preachers and as laity. As preachers, but also deacons. As preachers, but also elders. I'm going to class all of you today as elders. Amen. Because you are older, generally speaking. Huh? Most of you have been here for a while. Huh? What did you say, Sister Rich? A little while. Praise God. I'm glad you're still here, Mother Richardson. I appreciate you for God. I appreciate you, hoary-headed saints. Glory to God that show by your age, amen, still in church, that you are among the overcomers. Hallelujah. I appreciate you. Amen. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Amen. The Amplified New Testament, I was just checking it out a while ago, and it says, I give no offense. Amen. I do not lay a stumbling block before anybody. Amen. I'll agree with that. Paul does. Include himself. Amen. And probably his whole evangelistic party. Amen. But the one that's reading this to the Corinthians is probably, amen, the one that's reading you this text this morning. Namely, the pastor of the church. Amen. The pastor would probably be the one that would read this letter to the church. Since there would only be one letter and no copies, and many of the people would not be able to read, the pastor would probably be the one read it to the church. The seven letters to the churches of Revelation were written to the angels of the church, or the messenger of the church, or the pastor or leader of the church. They would be the one that would read it to the church. Amen. The church not only needs a leader, they need a whole lot of followers in order to have a church. You don't have much of a church if all you've got is a bunch of heads and no body. Amen. I mean, you'd have a monster if it was all heads, wouldn't you? Amen. So you got a head and you got a body. Praise God. Paul, I'm sure, includes himself. I think he includes the pastor, too, of that church. Amen. I think he includes the ministers. The members. Come on. Amen. They, too, need to live a careful life. Many a church expects the pastor to be an overcomer while they just about do as they please. They expect the preacher to be faithful while they are hit and miss, up and down, in and out. Come on. Praise God. But here he includes, I think he includes us all. But if we fail in any area, where does the buck stop? Yes, you're right. It'll stop right back at that pastor. If the church has trouble, amen, there'll be any number of people try to trace the trouble back to the leader. And sometimes it is the trouble of the leader. And then sometimes the leader in a time of trouble will up and resign and change pastorates and become the scapegoat and go away to another field of endeavor and bear the blame of the church's problems so that the new pastor might come in free of blame and start brand new. Amen. But we all have the same responsibility to give no offense, lay no stumbling block in the path of anybody. Amen. That the ministry be not blamed. Amen. It's just this simple. I will have less of an effective ministry if I have nobody that will listen to this holiness message in this church. Amen. People will wonder, what kind of a leader is that? Is he compromising? Is he soft? Is he slack? Is he neglectful? Amen. Is the church so in debt that he is afraid that they'll not be able to make the payments and he won't teach people holiness and right living? Amen. Or is he so scared about his own salary and making the payments that he won't preach righteousness? Nevertheless, amen, if a church goes sour, if a church goes down, you can't hardly keep from the preacher having some blame, one way or the other. If it's real blame or false blame, amen, he's going to have some blame for it. He's going to have to bow to a certain degree. So give no offense in anything. Do you believe that we as people of God, do you believe that we as ministers of God, do you believe that we can be careful about everything? Amen. Yes, we can. We can be careful about everything. When I took the Midway Pentecostal Church to pastor at there, Missouri, at the age of 17, just the age, you know, dating age, when guys become fully conscious of girls and the opposite sex and begin to seek for a mate for life, I took that church to pastor. In the year and 9 months that I pastored that church, I didn't have one date with any girl in the church or out of the church or any other church, what I mean. I wouldn't have dated somebody that wasn't saved anyway, somebody that wasn't Pentecostal anyway, but I didn't have one date with any girl in any other church while I was pastoring that church. Why? Because I didn't want the ministry to be blamed. I didn't want anybody pointing fingers at me, amen, while I shopped for a wife, if you will, while pastoring the church. I'm not telling every young preacher how to do it, amen, but that's the way I did it. I didn't stay too long, amen. And as far as the dating was concerned, I made up for lost time after I quit pastoring the church. Amen. And that's another story. Amen. But I continually sought the will of God, and God continued to direct me in the way that he would have me to go. But we can be careful. We can watch. We can actually do this, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Amen. Well, in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, praise God. Do you believe that we can do that and keep on keeping on? Amen. Approving ourselves as ministers of God. Well, if we're God-called and God-sent ministers of God, we can't never quit being that, can we? Just because we become impatient, can we quit? Just because we become impatient with people, can we quit? Just because we become impatient with people's progress, can we blow our stack and quit? Well, some have. Amen. Robert C. Douglas, who wrote The Robe and, I don't know, Silver Chalice maybe, and some other books about the Bible, gave up the ministry. And they asked him one time why he quit the ministry to become a writer. He had studied to be a minister. And he said, I got tired of turning people upside down and shaking them till their nickels rolled out. Amen. And a lot of preachers have quit the ministry because of finance. That's where your patience comes in. Amen. Your faith is tried. Hallelujah. Brother Rick, with a string of degrees on his name, and a place in the Baptist church and a future in the Baptist ministry, began to read the Bible. Praise God. And when he did, he found things he'd never seen before and that they didn't teach, and began to preach and teach it. Amen. And they kicked him out. His pastor told him, "I can't help you." He said, "You're right, but I can't help you." Amen. Things you're doing right, things you're preaching right, but I can't help you. Amen. So he went into construction and was working in construction, and was a mechanic, building mechanic. He specialized in construction of metal studs and drywall. And God led him to go full time in the ministry and give it all up. Amen. He told you how that last year his income, first time as a full time preacher, was $5,700, and his expenses was $9,000. What do you do when you go in the hole? Years ago, U.S. News and World Report said most of the ministers in debt and are getting deeper in debt all the time. Amen. I resigned the Full Gospel Tabernacle after being there 5 years and went on the field for a year. Felt led to go on the field for a year and held 24 revival meetings. Preached in 24 different churches, 24 revival meetings and special services and camp meetings in 1 year's time. The most I had ever preached in my life. I didn't cull any out. Amen. Of course, by then the meetings began to get shorter and shorter. Our meetings are, there's not a lot of 2 week revivals anymore in our churches. Not that that's a bad thing, but our churches are so overrun with activity, unless you have a real move of God, they can't stand any more than that. And that's a gospel truth. If you have a move of God, God's Spirit rests you and makes you strong. We closed back in February, last week in February, an 8 week revival. There wasn't nobody tired. And if Brother Havis had said he felt led to go on, everybody would have clapped because God was in it. After 8 weeks, I wasn't tired. I wasn't weary. Praise God. I was rejoicing in the meeting. Amen. But I held 24 revivals that year with the pastors taking up offerings for me, and my wife at home sending 2 kids to school. And because I'd sold a house in Bartonville, Kentucky, and kept a little out, I had a little extra money that I could draw on, and I went $2,000 in the hole holding a 24 revivals in a year's time across the board in our churches across the country. I wasn't pulling a trailer. I wasn't making a payment on a big truck and a trailer of $600 or $700 a month. I was making $135 a month payment on my house I built in Elk Creek Road. That wasn't even good rent. Amen. That day, as far as that goes, as far as expenses are concerned. But I went $2,000 in the hole. Now, just in case you think the preachers is out for the money, forget it. Not one in 10,000 is getting rich preaching. Amen. If they're getting rich, they got it somewhere else besides preaching. Amen. And that's the reason I scotch for the preacher strong and try to help them when they come by. And I've taught you to do the same thing, and you've come through. Praise God. But what if people don't? What if they do let you go in the hole? I'll tell you what you do. You have patience. You wait on God. You smile. You don't act like anything's wrong. Amen. If you got the blues, don't show it. Sing and preach and shout and go on with God. We just got a little while to work. Amen. So here we are. In much patience, in afflictions. That's what you go through. That's what people sometimes put you through. Because you preach the gospel. That's not necessarily sickness. In here, it doesn't mean sickness at all. Amen. Even though it can mean getting a bug, a missionary catching malaria half a dozen times while he's doing his best for God on a missionary field. Amen. Skip Kincaid, Melvin Kincaid, working for God in Guatemala, eating their food. If they fed him worms out of a stump, which was a delicacy of the Indians in Guatemala, amen, he poured his beans over them, his hot beans, to kill them, and went ahead and ate them. Amen. And when he was sick with amoebas and sick with intestinal virus, time after time after time, he said, God, I'm tired of it. I've sacrificed for you, built all these churches, and done all this work for God. I want you to heal me. And God did. Heal Skip Kincaid. Praise God. Amen. Well, glory to God. In afflictions. Which doesn't mean sickness here. It means persecutions, but are things that you go through with preaching the gospel. In necessities. What is that? That's doing without. Hallelujah. Do without. Did you know that the average person's problem with debt would be solved if they just did without? Amen. Learn to get by within your means. Amen. I'm not saying you never to have a chattel mortgage or buy a house on time. Amen. That's one thing that you can safely invest in. And when you're struggling, you're still getting ahead if you're making payments on a house. Amen. It's a good investment. But there are many things that we think we gotta have. What is it that we think we gotta have? The thing we just have to have is necessity. The things we think we gotta have are extras and luxuries. Amen. He didn't give us any grace for the extras and the luxuries. Amen. However, he did promise us an abundance if we'd be faithful. Amen. But here, he says, in necessities. That means doing without the things that you think you need. Amen. In necessities. Who does that? The ministry does it. Amen. But the church also needs to learn from the example of the ministry, because we're laborers together with Christ. In distresses. Hallelujah. Now, I don't tell you, I don't need to tell you, that when it comes to this being patient and these afflictions and these necessities and these distresses, that's where a lot of people show you the back of their head, as Vince Wilson used to say. They're going the other way. That's where a lot of people leave the work. Amen. That's where a lot of people leave the church. Come on. Amen. They say, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm going back. When Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress run across this fellow by the name of Pliable, amen, and took him along on the journey, and they plunged into Despond, their first trial on their way to the wicket gate. Amen. Pliable said, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm going back to the city of destruction. And struggled around and found his way back out and got himself back whence he came. But Christian continued to struggle. Praise God. And God's promise is to the overcomer this morning. You hear me? Amen. Ralph Cox. You hear me? The promise is to the overcomer. Praise God. And so in stripes. Now, lay aside the patiences and the afflictions, the necessities and the distresses. But when it comes to these public floggings that many of the Christians got because they live for God, that's where a whole bunch more quit the work and quit the church. Huh? Amen. In stripes, in imprisonments. You know what they said about Paul? They said he brought it on himself. If he wasn't so long-headed and so stubborn, and if he'd be a little bit more vacillating and a little bit more pliable and do what the officials tell him to do and not preach where they tell him not to preach, well, if Paul had listened to him, they wouldn't let him preach anywhere. So he just went ahead and preached anyway. Amen. and consequently in imprisonments, in tumults. Buddy, I mean, when people raise riots because you're living for God and preaching the gospel, amen, in the tumults and in the labors. What's labors? That's hard work. When some people see how hard the work is, and some preachers see how hard the work is, they quit. Amen. When they see there's any work to do, period, they quit. Praise God. Amen. In labors, in watchings. Oh, yes. Amen. Watchings. Say, what's watchings? Amen. That's being careful. Amen. Watching everybody and everything, every situation. Praise God. Waiting on God. Amen. Brother Virgil Waterman told about the revival where the preacher heard that they was going to rotten tomato the church that night. And he told everybody, without telling what was going to happen, said, I want you to watch and pray tonight. Watch and pray tonight. Sister back on this side of the altar facing the door, amen, with her eyes shut, was still praying. A big rotten tomato hit her right between the eyes. And she come crying to the preacher, said, Preacher, I was doing the best I could for God. And he said, why do you think I got hit with a tomato right between the eyes? I said, I told you to watch and pray. Amen. Sometimes you got to watch and pray. Sometimes you got to beware of dogs. And he's not talking about the canine kind neither. He's talking about two-legged dogs walking around, amen, on two legs, not four. Amen. Said, beware of dogs. There's a lot of things to watch. Praise God. We got to watch everything in fastings. Once again, that's doing without. That's making the effort. They down the hills of Kentucky, they called it suffering for God when they fasted. Amen. Fasted and prayed. Oh, boy, we got a whole new generation. Don't know much about this. As a matter of fact, if the church ever got into too much of this, they'd say bye-bye. They're not prepared to face it. Amen. I mean, you're going to have the tenacity of that old gawky German shepherd pup that took up at my dad's house. Amen. And I drove in there one day, and this old gawky German shepherd pup was running around on the upper periphery of Dad's acre. Dad had throwed rocks at him, used his Arkansas vernacular on him. I mean a whole string of four-letter words with the rocks thrown in. Amen. And ordered him back to his where he came from. Throwed those rocks and ordered that dog back time after time after time. Amen. One day I came home after being gone for about a year, and this big, full-grown German Shepherd dog come running to meet my car from behind the house, of all things. Amen. And I was almost afraid to get out of the car. Amen. I'd had that experience down in Barberville, Kentucky. Went to visit Vance Mills' family. The new family had got saved. Bruce and Sue held a revival meeting for us. 30 people got saved, and Vance Mills' whole family got saved. One of the girls got sick with a virus or cold or something. I went to visit them, wanted to be a good pastor of my new family, and was proud of my new family. And she opened the door, and out came a big German Shepherd dog. And about time he got to my car where I was standing with the door still open, she said in a still, slow spoken voice, sometimes he bites. Well, by the time she said he bites, he was almost on top of me. So I just sat down in the car again. He was coming so hard and so fast and ferocious. It just shut the door. It made that dog so mad he chewed my left front tire to the core, to the cord. I'd drive up to camp meetings and tell guys they couldn't guess what caused that tire to be cut, and they never could guess. Well, when this German shepherd dog come out from behind Dad's house, big full-grown varmint, I didn't know whether to get out of the car or not. Come find out, it was that same old gawky dog that was a pup just a few months back. Dad had rocked him and whopped him and cussed him and everything else trying to get him to leave. And you know what? He wouldn't leave. And I surmised what that dog said. He said, "Old man, I've been on this hill a while too, and you ain't gonna run me off. Amen. This is my place too." He had made it his home. Amen. And I mean, he was determined to be Leonard's dog. And he was Leonard's dog. Amen. I found that out when I got back home. Whether Leonard wanted him at first or not, he became Leonard's dog. Amen. There's some people in the house of God that you ain't going to chase off very easy. Glory to God, they got their feet on the rock. And their minds made up. And they are established. Praise God. And they mean it literally when they sing, "How firm a foundation." Praise God. Because they're determined to go on with God. Amen. And I mean imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings ain't going to move them. But there's some other things we need to watch. There's some other things we can profit by. He said, "By pureness." How many believe we can, amen, prove ourselves overcomers by pureness? Amen. You believe we can have pure motives? You believe we can have pure attitudes? Huh? Glory to God. By pureness. Glory to God. Yes, sir. God can keep us pure. God can keep us sanctified. Yes, He can. Hallelujah. By knowledge. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad He put that in there. Amen. Because there's a lot of people think the reason we cling to this old time way is because we're ignorant and illiterate. And it's just the low class unintelligent folks that accept that. No, it's not. I'm here to tell you that our people know more Bible and have committed more scripture to memory and to practice than anybody bar none. Praise God. No, it's not because we don't know. It's because we know in whom we believe. It's not because we don't know. It's because we do know that we live the way we do. And Paul said, "Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men." Praise God. Our knowledge is not a pseudo-knowledge like the various cults of the very day that Paul and John and Peter wrote and lived. Amen. No, the Gnostics. They were called Gnostics because the Gnostics, Gnostics means no. Amen. They claimed to have super duper knowledge. Amen. And everybody else was lacking in revelation. The trouble is, their super duper knowledge took them away from the Bible. Their super duper knowledge took them away from Christ. Their super duper knowledge and their enticing words of man's wisdom took them away from the power of God. Their super duper knowledge denied the holy scriptures and the truths of God's holy writ. Their super duper knowledge of the Gnostics denied the miracles of the Bible, and we've still got them today. Amen. No, they didn't know. They just thought they knew. Amen. But we can know in whom we've believed. And we can know and be persuaded He's able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. Amen. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. Amen. There are some folks would have stayed at the church and the ministry if they'd have been a little more long suffering. What happened? They didn't suffer long enough. Huh? "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Well, I just saw so much and I just heard so much. I just got disgusted and quit. Where is your long suffering? Amen. Kindness. Amen. There's some of these things that I've been deficient in. Patience. And long suffering. And sometimes kindness. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We can give we can show ourselves approved by the Holy Ghost and by love unfeigned. That means you're not two-faced. That means when you say I love you, you really love. You're not just play acting. Love unfeigned. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hello, Bessie. When Sister Collins comes up, I'll quit. Amen. Glory to God. By the way, I was looking to see if she... Uh-oh.